The world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome along. I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This tomorrow I have music for you from Scylla, Stella Vale, Sonova, and Rival Consoles. Kicking things off on Sherwood, this is Cloverdale and Return of the Jaded with Nobody.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Thank you.
Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. From the album Landscapes with Memories on Race Tape Records, that was Rival Consoles with Catherine. Up next from the album Frequent Flyer, this is Sonova with Bond Trader.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system. This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Feel the floor beneath me, slowly sinking deeper. Bass beats brief behind me, body beckoning nearer. To the sound.
Sean Savage. You're listening to the Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. From the album Scylla is Boss on Quamatic Records, this is Scylla with Talusac. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Hello, hello everyone. I am Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to the Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, and culture community scene, whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. And one thing I have realized from this week's episode is that for sure, Kingston has such a wonderful music scene that I love, and I'm sure lots of you love, as it truly feels like every weekend there's a concert, a festival, or a local artist taking the stage somewhere in the city. But something I think can sometimes get overlooked is the incredible visual arts community we have here as well. Whether you're someone who loves visiting galleries, enjoying getting hands-on with creative workshops, or simply you're just wanting to experience something new, Kingston is full of these opportunities that really connect us with the arts and local artists here. So one organization that I definitely want to bring to the spotlight for this week's episode that is helping make that possible for decades is the wonderful Cultivate Arts Commons. Now, while the name might sound a little new to some listeners, the organization itself is certainly is not. Many people will remember it as Modern Fuel Artist Run Center. This is the organization that has been a part of Kingston's arts community since 1977. It's been supporting artists, hosting expeditions, and creating opportunities for people to engage with contemporary art for so long now, and it is such an incredible place to visit if you haven't been there before. So earlier this year, Modern Fuel officially became Cultivate Arts Commons. They completely had a rebrand, marking a new chapter in the organization's history. So while the name has changed a little bit, the mission definitely remains the same and has somewhat even improved, as we will find out following in the supporting interview. It is focused on creating a great sense of community while making art accessible to people throughout Kingston and beyond. So for those unfamiliar with the organization, Cultivate Arts Commons is a nonprofit arts arts organization located at the Tet Center on Kingston's waterfront. They host expeditions featuring local, regional, and national artists, provide mentorship and professional development opportunities, offer artist residencies, create community programming that truly helps connect people with contemporary art in definitely meaningful ways. And I think that is one of the things that makes organizations like Cultivate so important for Kingston and our community. As art isn't always about having all the answers, right? Sometimes it's about asking questions. It's about seeing the world from a different perspective, hearing someone else's story sometimes, or just experiencing an idea you may have never encountered otherwise. So having spaces like these where artists can explore those ideas and share them with the public really helps make our city more vibrant and definitely unleashes so many more creativity elements and ultimately helps us all be more connected. So Cultivate also plays such an important role in supporting these artists at different stages of their careers. We often see the finished product, but the exhibition on the wall, the artwork on display, the final project, but behind every piece is an artist putting in countless hours of work, experimenting with these ideas, and learning new skills. So trying to find opportunities to share these works can be hard. And organizations like Cultivate truly, truly provide these incredible opportunities to help ensure artists have space where they can grow and develop their practice, especially for beginner artists or those with less of a fan base that need these resources to get started and display their work and reach the world with it. So it is truly a great, great place. And another thing to consider as Kingston continues to grow are the conversations around arts, culture, and community as they become increasingly more important. So what kind of creative spaces do we want in our city? How do we support local artists? And how do organizations continue to evolve to meet the needs of both artists and audiences? So those are some great questions that we will definitely be diving into for today's interview. We'll be talking about the organization's recent rebrand, what it means to be an artist-run center, the role Cultivate plays with Kingston's broader arts ecosystem and culture, and some of the exciting expeditions and programming currently happening this summer. So joining me today, we have Maddie Andrews, the Executive Director of Cultivate Arts Commons. So Maddie has been leading the organization through this new chapter and brings years of experience working within Kingston's arts community. So I'm going to roll the interview now and let's dive into it. Hello, everyone. Today, I am joined by Maddie Andrews, Executive Director of the Cultivate Arts Commons, one of Kingston's longest-running artist-run centers. Earlier this year, the organization entered a new chapter, rebranding from Modern Fuel Artist-Run Center to Cultivate Arts Commons, as it continues its mission of supporting artists and building creative community in Kingston. Today, we will be taking a look about the story behind the rebrand, the role artists run centers play in the city's art scene, and what visitors can currently experience at the gallery. So thank you so much, Maddie, for joining me here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Perfect. All right, let's dive in. So I know, like I mentioned, Cultivate Arts Commons just experienced a huge rebrand. So, and it came as the organization was approaching its 50th anniversary. So looking back on nearly 5 decades of supporting artists in Kingston, what would you say the gallery is most proud of? What are you most proud of?
I think that history is something that's really incredible. So for nearly 5 decades now, we've been a vital hub for contemporary and experimental art in Cataraqui, Kingston. And we are the only artist-run center within about a 300-kilometer radius. So we serve a very broad geographic community and provide artists with a rare and essential resource, a space where they can take risks, challenge conventions, and also receive fair compensation for their work. So I think having existed for nearly 5 decades now is something to be proud of in and of itself.
100%. And so for listeners who may have known the organization under its previous name for years, what prompted this change and what does it represent for the future of the organization?
As we look towards our next chapter, we engaged our membership and our key collaborators to help thoughtfully shape our path forward. And throughout these conversations that took place over a period of about 2 years, one theme emerged consistently: the need for a new name. So some community members noted that fuel can carry outdated or environmentally harmful connotations in today's climate conscious context. But more often, folks noted that the name did not clearly communicate the organization's purpose and created confusion for new audiences in particular. So it was with this feedback in mind, we made the decision to develop a new name and brand identity, one that we feel more clearly reflects our organization's role as a community-centered hub, supporting artists, fostering collaboration, and reflecting the community's creative landscape.
Continue.
Yeah, so you were asking about also kind of looking forward as well, I believe, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so I think it's important to stress that while the name has changed, we will continue to offer affordable workshops, shared tools and equipment, exhibitions, and opportunities for mentorship and professional development. So this transition does not signal a departure, but a deepening of purpose, strengthening our commitment to cultivating the arts within this community.
That's perfect. Yeah, so speaking of the names, I know you just kind of touched on it a little bit. So why was it important to choose the name that emphasizes both cultivate and commons?
Mm-hmm. I think because that name itself is designed to be welcoming and community focused, and it really positions the gallery as a gathering space for artists. And that's something we really strive to be and to do through our programming and our exhibitions. And now we're excited to have a name that we feel very clearly reflects our mission and those values.
That's amazing. And you just described Cultivate Arts Commons as more of a community center for arts, for sure. So what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, so for me, I imagine commons kind of being this shared space and one where artists feel they belong to. So it represents an open, accessible hub where community members can come together with artists to engage around contemporary art practices, where they can learn about contemporary art from contemporary artists themselves. So really highlighting that collaboration, that generosity, and those shared opportunities that come together in a space such as this one. I'm really focused in the work we're doing here now on trying to get out into the community as well. So trying to engage with new audiences. Mm-hmm. To ensure that the work we're doing is really reaching as many people as possible, and that we're able to provide opportunities for artists who otherwise maybe wouldn't have those opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure this rebrand has definitely reached a lot of new audiences and hopefully continues growing this wonderful hub. And one thing that really stood out to me is the role that the Artist Run Center plays in supporting artists outside of these larger institutions, for sure. So what unique role does an Artist Run Center like Cultivate play within Kingston's broader arts ecosystem?
This is such a great question. I love it. Yeah, so to kind of consider the history, artist-run centers are nonprofit organizations that are dedicated to supporting the research, creation, production, exhibition, and circulation of contemporary artistic practices. They're typically described as small but mighty, and I think that's something we definitely embody, and this structure deeply affects the curatorial work being produced. Artists run centers, and I think what's really important within this local community context, as the name describes, we prioritize artists. Mm-hmm. So not just as content providers, but as cultural agents as well. So budgets are structured to put money directly into artist hands through fees, material stipends, production support, etc. So that means our curation and our work is not just about selection or interpretation, though that's important too. It's also about advocacy and redistribution. And I think artist-run centers like ours play a crucial role in the ecosystem of an artist's career. They're often where artists have their first professional exhibition, where they test new ideas through a residency, or where they might learn to navigate public presentation. And I think I've witnessed and been privileged to witness all of these different aspects for an artist, all of those firsts, as they've kind of been able to use our space and our resources as a launch pad to take their career to the next level.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And it must be a great feeling knowing that when you donate towards this gallery or you take part in a workshop, that you know that your funds you're giving to this organization is going to the artist. And that would be an amazing feeling for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, beyond this name change, there's definitely a lot happening in the gallery itself. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the expositions currently on display and what themes or ideas they're exploring for June or the summer upcoming.
Absolutely. We have three exciting exhibitions on display right now that are on view until mid-July, and we would love folks to come check them out. Included in that, we have in our window gallery, Jeongwook Park's Different Yet Similar Breath, in the State of Flux gallery, Francisco Berlanga's Accounting for Bleed, and then in the main gallery, we have our annual juried exhibition, Mending Ways. Mending Ways is a beautiful show featuring the work of 9 different member artists. So folks who are already actively involved in our community are responding to the theme of mending being physical and tangible, but also intangible or relational. And that's something that I think the artists explore beautifully through this exhibition. There's interpretations that explore mending as, yes, this much more physical, tangible act, like repairing a vessel that has broken, or quilting or darning socks, for example. But there's also these much more subtle acts of repair that are explored in this exhibition that I think so beautifully capture human relationships. And that's something that I'm really excited to have explored in this exhibition, and to explore further through some of our public programming that we're doing in conjunction with this show. Coming up, we actually do have a series of workshops that are associated with this exhibition.
Oh, nice.
On June 13th, we have Writing to Mend, Mending to Write, a creative writing workshop that really thinks about tending to wounds, cracks, or adhesions, and writing as a method for mending, repairing, and building community. So it'll be very beautiful to think about those more intangible acts of repair that I mentioned. Whereas in July, on July 11th, we're kind of flipping it and looking at those more physical acts of repair with a Learn to Mend clinic held in partnership with Wild Bobbin. And we are inviting folks to bring in a garment or item that needs repair, that they feel needs to be fixed up, and we'll be teaching hand stitching techniques to keep your favorite items in your life a little longer.
I love that.
So it'll be lovely.
Yeah, that's great. And what a great, just a wide range of things for sure. And definitely, it's not just going to look at art. You can definitely be more hands-on and take place with this art. I love that. Those sound like great opportunities and definitely some events that people in Kingston should be checking out this summer. And so speaking of these events, when you're selecting these expositions, what are you looking for exactly? And what makes a project feel like a good fit for Cultivate?
Great question. It's funny that you ask this, because we're actually in the process of going through our submissions for the annual call for submission right now, which is how we make selections for the upcoming programming cycle, how we select our exhibitions, basically. And I think a big thing that I come back to is making sure that the programming we're doing is aligned with our values. And so for exhibitions in particular, a value that's really important is critical engagement. So supporting artistic practices that embrace experimentation, curiosity, and risk-taking while creating space for authentic engagement with contemporary issues. So I think that at its core, we're looking for artwork and shows that really critically engage thematically or through the materials they use. And we're looking for artists who are taking risks and being bold and taking up space very authentically. So yeah, I think that those are some of the key things that we're excited about.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're planning these events and you've witnessed them for yourself, do you find audiences are becoming more interested in these interactive and kind of community engaged expeditions compared to, let's say, the more traditional gallery experiences nowadays?
That's an interesting question. I would say it's mixed. There are the folks who feel very comfortable in a more traditional setting with, say, paintings on the walls, and they like to move slowly and appreciate the work they're seeing, the technique, the materials. But there's also folks who really enjoy the more experimental, the more innovative, the more hands-on, where they get to become part of whatever is being produced or feel like they're playing a role very actively. And I think that it's nice to try to find a balance between those different types of work in a show, in terms of the more experimental installations. It's nice to have those also as an entry point for folks who've maybe not felt comfortable in a gallery setting or have never been to one before. They can be invited in this new way that asks them to make meaning alongside the artist, which is always lots of fun, especially for young families as well.
Yeah, I love that there's a little bit of everything for everyone. And depending on your comfortability, how used you are to being in the art scene, I think there's truly something for everyone here. And so looking beyond kind of this summer's schedule and expedition, it feels like definitely Cultivate is entering a new chapter, as we mentioned, with this whole rebrand and the upcoming 50th anniversary. So what initiatives and programs or projects are you particularly excited about heading into kind of the second half of 2026? I know you've mentioned some stuff happening this summer, maybe expanding on that happening in the fall. Anything you're excited about?
Absolutely. lots to be excited about. We have some really incredible exhibitions slated to come this fall, this upcoming winter, that I'm thrilled to be working alongside these artists. I think something I'll touch upon now, though, is this exciting new program that we're just getting off the ground called Cultivating Community, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a dynamic new residency program that we hope strengthens the connection between art and community. So we have two fabulous artists in residence who will be working with local community members to build meaningful relationships and encourage creative expression, but specifically in spaces where access to the arts is limited. And so we are bringing these artists out into the community, into community hubs and spaces where they're already comfortable and they already feel safe and they've developed relationships with. And so trying to bring that art engagement into these spaces to further our mandate, as opposed to always asking folks to come to us to engage with our programming. And so this is a program that I'm really excited about because I think it'll really extend the reach of what we're doing. And it's being facilitated by two fabulous artists, Jill Glatt and Georgie Gagné, who I'm always so honored to work with.
That sounds great. And what a great way to make just Cultivate more accessible to people and just, further the reach. That sounds like a great program. Excited to look into that more. Mm-hmm. And I just mentioned, the 50th anniversary coming up. Are there any plans or goals already kind of taking shape for that milestone, maybe?
Yeah, so very exciting. 50th anniversary coming up in 2027. Specifically, we'll turn 50 in October of 2027. So we're hoping to have a year of programs that engage with our history. So looking back at the incredible people who we've worked with, who have supported our work and allowed us to grow and become who we are today, but also an opportunity to look forward and imagine what the next 50 years of contemporary art could look like in Kingston. So we're excited to have a series of programs throughout the year that are still being shaped, including some special anniversary expositions that will be very fun to have, concluding with a very celebratory event in October to wish happy birthday to Cultivate Art Commons.
Yeah, nice. That seems like a great time. And to wrap things up a little bit, kind of just a fun questions to end the interview. So when you think about Kingston's arts community 5 or 10 years from now, what do you hope Cultivate Arts Commons has helped shape or help contribute to that future?
A beautiful question. I hope that we're continuing to provide opportunities for artists. I think something that's a challenge at time and something that has been demonstrated as an issue through research done by the Kingston Arts Council in the report they recently published called the Artist Prosperity Project. And it has some very interesting findings there is that artists are often forced to move to larger cities at times to sustain their career because there aren't just enough opportunities in smaller towns like Kingston. So I hope that Cultivate can continue to offer these opportunities for artists so that we can continue to grow the local arts context. So by having exhibition opportunities, by having teaching opportunities, just different ways that they can get involved and we can pay them for their work will allow them to stay in this arts community here and continue to better it in so many different ways. And so I hope that that's something that we can keep doing as we move forward.
Lovely. And thank you so much, Maddie, for joining us for this interview today. I really appreciate it and everything you're doing for the arts community in Kingston through Cultivate Arts Commons. Truly, you are making an impact and it's just wonderful to see. And I'm excited to check out some of these expeditions you've mentioned this summer. It truly seems like wonderful things are happening here.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time and would love to welcome you into our space and any of the listeners. Please come check us out. We're located on the top floor of the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning on King Street, and we would love to see you.
And that was the incredible Maddie Andrews. Again, I want to thank her so much for coming on The Curator. She, again, is the executive director of Cultivate Arts Commons. And one thing that really stood out to me throughout that conversation was the idea that organizations like Cultivate do so much more than simply hang artwork on a gallery, right? They are creating these opportunities for artists to grow, experiment, and truly connect with this community. And they are building sustainable careers right here in Kingston. So I think sometimes when we talk about the arts, truly, even my mind does this, it immediately goes to concerts, festivals, and performances. But visual art spaces play an equally important role in shaping the cultural identity of the city. They truly create places for conversations with one another, to outlets of creativity and new perspectives, and they also support the artists who make our communities so vibrant and unique. And that is something truly what I love that Cultivate Arts Commons fosters immensely. And what I also found interesting was hearing about the organization's recent transition from Modern Fuel to Cultivate Arts Commons. While the name is something new and that has been rebranded, the commitment to supporting artists and fostering these creative communities has been a part of Kingston for nearly 5 decades now, since 1977. It's a reminder that the arts are constantly evolving, truly, always, and that organizations need to eventually evolve with it, right? The communities, they need to sometimes change and foster what's now being prominent in the community and what we're looking forward to. So whether you're someone who regularly visits galleries or someone who's truly never stopped into one before, I think it's really important and really valuable in having spaces that encourage this curiosity, creativity, and and that's always what exactly Cultivate Arts Commons continues to do. So a big thank you again to Maddie Andrews for taking the time to join me today and share more about the organization. It's a new chapter, and can kind of see what's happening this summer at the gallery and what to look forward to a little bit. So definitely check out the workshops they have going on, the expeditions. It's truly a great experience, and I'm sure there is something for everyone to do, whether you want to look for more hands-on work or just kind of want to browse art. And there's different level of pay range, and truly it is an accessible place for everyone. There's something for everyone to do there. So now, speaking of things happening around the city, let's take a little bit of a look into what's happening this week in Kingston and do a Friday forecast. So, starting off with Saturday, June 6th, you can kick off your morning at Earthfest in Confederation Park from 10 until 4. That's a great opportunity to connect with your local environmental organizations and learn a little bit more about how sustainability happens right here in Kingston. If you're looking for something a little different, Italia Day gets underway at 11 a.m. at the Italio, a Canadian club, celebrating Italian culture, food, my fave, and music and community. Music lovers are spoiled for choice this weekend as well. Saturday afternoon, the Tet Center hosts Be the Ark, singing for collective action, while later that evening, the Isabel Bader Center welcomes Sunrise Mass, featuring the Canterbury Choirs of Kingston and the Kingston Symphony Orchestra. If you're looking for something a little bluesier, Big Mo and the Blues Mission will be taking the stage at the RCHA Club Saturday night at 8 p.m. Now, heading into Sunday, if your ideal weekend includes a stroll through a market, Sunday definitely has you covered. The Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 until 2, offering fresh local produce, baked goods, craft, and plenty of community spirit. Afterwards, you can keep the creative energy going at the Tech Gallery's Collage Club, a community crafting event running from 2 until 5. Again, I am Jenny Hinch, and as always, I like to end the show by spotlighting some local talent. Kingston is home to so many incredible musicians, and this next track comes from one of the city's rising bands, Lumpfish. So sit back, turn it up, and enjoy Rainy Day by Lumpfish. And thanks again for listening to the Kingston Curator on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, it's Emily Steele, and you're listening to CFRC.